Would you like to talk about plants today?
Ooh. Okay, curry is really good with plants, except sometimes I catch her eating my Rojo Congo.
Oh.
And not like aggressively, but she'll be like, this leaf is in my way. I'm going to bite it.
Mm.
Like, to be fair, it is on the floor, so I guess. But also, please don't chomp the leaves. Yeah? Oh, don't look at me with those eyes.
Aw.
Well, welcome to Rough Around the Hedges podcast. I'm Kaylin.
And I'm Christine.
And this is Ty Curry. Today, we're going to be discussing the 10 things I wish someone would have told me soon.
When I started growing plants.
Yep, when I started my plant hobby. So, if you're just starting off and more of a beginner, I'm sure you've already learned some stuff already.
Yeah.
And you're seeing other things that maybe you feel pressured to do or whatnot, or maybe these are things that no one's told you and you wouldn't have figured out till later. But these are Christine and I's top 10 things.
Yep.
And they're in no particular order either. We just brainstormed and wrote a list and we're not even going to sort them because that would take too much time. But I want to start with, don't use outside dirt. This is one of the lessons I learned earliest on, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't want to go buy potting soil. There's dirt outside. And like, my dad's a farmer and he grows stuff in the ground. So I was like, I can do this. I mean, you can.
Yeah.
Does it work as well?
No.
No.
I've never done it, but I bought plants from people. From someone who would use their outside.
You know, and I can imagine if you were to amend it with other things,
right,
you could make it work. But what I was doing is I was going outside my apartment building, digging in the landscaping, mm-hmm, taking soil, and that's where I put my croton.
Right.
And my jade plant. And what was, I want to know, my peke, gosh, the Pecura aquatica money tree.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my first 6 plants. And like, it didn't end well.
So but what also, was wrong with it?
Okay,
it was too...
Another thing I did, I also put rocks in the bottom of the pot.
Ah.
We should make that number 11. Shit, I forgot about that. You don't need rocks in the bottom of your pot either.
That's what we should write down. I'm going to write down as drainage as a possible plant episode.
Ooh, yeah, we'll talk about the perched water table. That'll be next week's, two weeks from now's episode. The rocks... It's said to add drainage, and if you don't have a hole in your pot, you can add rocks to like add drainage, but like, no, don't. It doesn't work the way you think it does. A lot of it's like, if you do have rocks in the bottom of a pot with no holes, it's just a guessing game, and it's not going to guarantee you're not going to overwater your plant because you can't even see how much water is extra in there. It's all around just a bad idea, but that was like definitely the thing I did when I first got my first 6 plants, because by the time I like repotted them for the first time, I had rocks in the bottom of all of them. And I was like, why did I do this? Well, it's because everyone tells you to. But I was using outside dirt because I didn't want to spend the money on potting soil because I didn't understand the importance of using potting soil.
Mm-hmm.
And like topsoil from outside does not hold water. And like the whole point of having inside plants, watering them, you need them to hold on to water because you're not going to be watering them like you're the rainforest. So like they need to retain water. The plant can use it as it's at its leisure,
mm-hmm,
and whatnot. So... That was definitely a mistake I made. Did you do it too? You said you didn't do it, but you got plants that had it. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I noticed that soil was just really heavy, like you were saying. Like just, mm-hmm, it needs help. It definitely needs help. And as far as like nutrients and stuff, obviously.
It's been depleted. Yep. Nobody, okay. Not nobody, but not very many people are replenishing the nutrients in their outside soil like they should be / could be. So just don't do it.
Yeah.
Use some good high quality potting mix for your plants that you're growing in pots in the inside. All right, next one.
It's only, okay, so the plant hobby, it's only as expensive as you make it. So what that kind of means is there is a definite, I wouldn't say it's a misconception, but it gets romanticized a little bit too much in the community of buying the most expensive everything. Most expensive pots, most expensive plants.
Or like the plants that are popular right now, which also happen to be expensive.
Right. Or buying all of the fanciest soils and potting mixes and amendments and all that. And you don't have to do that if you can't. Number one, if you can't do that, by no means should you ever feel pressured to do that. And number two, like if you want to be a budget-friendly plant grower, like... Obviously, like Kaylin is a fantastic example of this. You can be a budget-friendly plant grower. Like you can find plants for dirt cheap. There was there's a nursery, I think it's Gerton's, has Hoya Lisa's for like $4 right now.
Ooh.
In like 4-inch pots. And I was like, I might go get one because I don't have one right now. So you can find good deals for plants. There's, you know, There are nurseries, especially locally to Minnesota, who do their own form of a purge or sales all the time. You can go to big box stores. Don't let anyone ever, you know, make you feel bad that you got something, you know, at a grocery store. If you find something cute that you like, you go for it. As far as pots go, we love a good soup container. We love a good yogurt container.
We like recycling.
Yes.
That's what we... And for plant saucers?
Yeah.
Guess what?
Soup containers and hummus, Parmesan hummus, cheese containers.
Hummus containers?
Oh, yeah. The little flat. Yeah.
Yep. Those Leanne are perfect.
Chin, the tray that you
get. Takeout trays?
Yes.
Especially the round ones are really good.
I can't remember where I got them from, but I have like half a dozen of these like real big soup bowls, plastic soup bowl containers.
Hmm. Are they shallow?
No, they're actually on the deeper side. So they're great for watering just like a single plant if you're going to like soak them. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely thrifty ways of doing
it. The containers they put the pita chips in
for
soaking more smaller plants. Yeah. I actually am propping something in one of them in my tent right now because I need it to keep humidity around this particular allocation.
Right. So by no means, I mean, if you're someone that has the funds and you want to go ham and go crazy, do it. But like... At the same...
You don't have to.
You don't have to.
Don't let anyone make you think you have to. And just because everyone else is doing it, does it mean you have to?
Yeah.
Like...
You don't need...
Be thrifty, be bargainy, check the clearance rack, look for nursery plant, or the, what do you call it? Plant nursery? No. The clearance rack at plant stores for sad plants.
Yeah.
Or don't be afraid to ask for a discount on a sad plant.
If you find pests on a plant, don't be afraid to ask for a discount. If you find, a plant that looks really shitty, don't be afraid to ask for a discount.
You can also trade with friends. Like, I've said before, the most expensive plant I've ever bought was $49.
Oh, the real?
Christine and I have split other plants that cost a little bit more. But ultimately... I've kept it under $49.
Yeah.
Like I have fancy plants because I either waited or I traded somebody or I got lucky or, you know, whatever, but I wasn't out there buying $100 plants.
Right. I think it helps. I think plants have trended downwards, right?
Slightly, but also there's been a resurgence in people coming into the hobby.
I'm not a fan of
folks. People coming into the hobby? What are you going to say, Christine?
No, just people taking advantage of the new folks like that. Like, it's just...
It's going to happen. The new people are going to come in and they're going to see all the old people going wild. And they're going to think they have to, too. It's like when everybody was... Like, people have come to me to buy albos when I've listed them for sale. And they're like, hey, I've never had a plant this expensive or this fancy before. And they're like, I only have 5 plants. And I'm like, well, what are you doing buying this one?
Right. Why did you?
This is a cutting. It's a one-leaf cutting. You want to start your one-leaf cutting journey on a $100 cutting?
Right.
Like, please, like, okay, I want to sell this to you, but also please don't.
Right.
Don't buy this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have the people who are like, elbows are hard, ties are hard. And, oh, man, okay, forgive me. How do I say this in a nice way? Get good at shitty plants before you buy fancy plants if you are going to feel bad about killing your fancy plants. Mm-hmm. Like, I was killing a jade before I was killing a fancy plant. And because I was killing the jade, I learned on a $12 plant versus...
Yep.
$150 plant.
Yep.
I learned my lesson that succulents need light. So if I ever were to get a fancy plant, which the most expensive succulent I've ever bought was $25.
Such a your penis cactus.
And I got a very good string of pearls basket. But
I was just trying to think. 2 different plants,
also succulenty, but you know, that's the most I spent on a plant. But guess what? By the time I bought those, I knew how to care for them.
Yeah. Trying to think what my first fancy plant was.
I definitely did you get a fancy calathea?
I did get a fancy calathea. So I made that mistake a little too early on, I think. I was not properly equipped to deal with spider mites when I brought that plant in.
Did it come with spider mites?
Oh yeah. It almost immediately had them.
Mm. But was that something the plant got spider mites because that's what calatheas are like, or because your care was somehow lacking and it got stressed and that attracted the mites?
It might have been both. It might have been one of those things where it already had some of the spider mites, but then my care was not good enough that it just exponentially
it stressed got it worse. It out.
Because how quickly I lost that one to spider mites is not... there's no way it didn't have them prior to my care.
I gotcha. You
know? So shame on that nursery. But,
shame,
you know.
Shame.
We know your name. We won't say it, though.
Not like Kaylin did. No, I didn't last episode. But anyway, don't let other people make you feel like you need to be spending a boatload of money. If you buy plants at big box stores, like you buy plants at big box stores. Like right. Ultimately that is your choice. And I know some people don't do it for like ethical reasons, because of the type of companies that are supplying those big box stores, but like ultimately it shouldn't be something that people fault you for.
Right.
If you have to buy the $3 plant instead of the $18 plant.
Do it.
All right. Something I wish people would have told me when I was getting started. You really don't understand light. You really don't. And I put that in all caps, actually, when I wrote this down. So many people are like, well, my plant is getting light. And then me, who has gone down the rabbit hole of learning about how light works when it comes in your house, sees the plant 10 feet away from any light source. And I'm like, no.
You don't know light?
You don't understand. Like, there's the... What is it, the inverse? Well, it's like the whatever, the plant, the light fall off when it enters your house immediately. Right. Like in, what is it, inversely decreases? I don't know. Anyway, by the time you're 4 feet away from the window, basically all the light that a plant can use is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And also it depends on the size of your window too.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like if you don't have a light meter and you're not checking this with like a measuring device, you'll never know, because your eyes as a human, they dilate when you're inside. So like you can't tell across the room isn't actually enough light for a plant, because in your eyes you're like, oh, it's not a dark corner over here, this is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people even put plants in dark corners.
Mm-hmm.
So as a newbie, you don't understand light. You really have to, that's one thing you kind of have to research and figure out for yourself. But also like there are tools and tools out there to help you figure that out.
And hey, I think we have like 5 episodes dedicated to light at this point.
Oh my goodness, what?
So highly recommend going and giving those a listen.
Yeah.
And then listen again, because there's a lot of information. There's a lot of information. And then check out the blogs that we suggest in all of them. Daryl Chang, fantastic. 10 out of 10.
Daryl Chang has an excellent information on using lights.
Yes. Highly recommend reading his stuff. I think I read specifically the Grow Light blog like four or five times.
Oh, I still read it sometimes.
Before I started buying grow lights, like I read through that thing.
Oh, when you were getting started. A ton. Yeah. I still go back and reference it, and that is the information I share with people when they don't want to listen to me anymore and they need to listen to someone else. Send them to Daryl's blog.
Yeah.
You know, and put your plant in a window.
Yeah.
That's a big one. Not off to the side, not 6 feet away. In a window.
All light inside is indirect, folks. All light inside is indirect.
Yep. Don't worry about bright indirect, like burning your plants.
Not inside. It's not going to happen.
Nope. I mean, it totally could if your plant was living in a dark corner for a year.
Oh, sure. But well, then, and there was like...
When you bring it home from a nursery, it's not going to burn.
Yeah. And there's... I don't know. This is an interesting thought/question. There was like a day or two a couple years ago where like the UV index hit like 14. And I think, didn't you burn plants that day in windows?
I haven't burned plants in windows since February 2020.
Okay.
I specifically remember that because it was the week that we went to the Grand Canyon and I came back and like some of my plants burned and I was like, gotcha. Why?
Somebody had said that they like in the morning had burned their plants in east windows because of the UV index being so high. So I went and pulled sheer curtains on everything so they wouldn't mm-hmm. burn in the afternoon. That's like the only time have I ever been concerned about burning plants in windows, because that was a crazy, crazy high UV mm-hmm. index day.
And as Kaylin always says, get a light meter.
Yeah.
Just invest in a light meter. I know it's $40. Just
instead of buying a $40 plant, buy a light meter.
Right? It's gonna revolutionize everything and play around with it. And 10 out of 10.
Sorry, we contradicted ourselves from the exact last point, but we were saying it's only as expensive as it should be. But we really.
I mean, okay, if you're gonna put your plants in a window, you don't need a light meter. If you're gonna put your plants under grow lights, you probably need a light meter.
Light
but then
meter.
About at that point you're buying grow lights anyway, so yeah. Like that's just part of the
budget.
Sure. yeah.
And put in your budget grow light meter.
Right. Like if you're gonna afford grow lights, you need to start with the light meter.
Yeah.
Okay, next topic.
Oh, sure. I'm trying to read Kaylin's handwriting.
Christine can't read my handwriting.
Find a local community /Facebook group/ ultimately a plant friend. That's what we're really trying to do, is find somebody that you can
talk
message.
To.
Yeah. Message like, what is this? Or have you grown this? Or I need help watering today. Can you help me water? And then I'll help you water later.
Or you want to do plant chores on a Zoom call.
Yeah. Does this look like a bug? Like having...
I'm going to bounce things off of.
Yeah. In your corner a little bit, who has gone through the same mistakes or is going to go through the same mistakes, and someone to be like, yeah, I've done that, or yeah, I've killed that, or yeah, that's happened to me. Like, it's not a perfect hobby. No one's absolutely perfect at this game. Having people to talk to about it is really nice.
I also, like, you can talk to your regular friends about it and, like, you know, yeah, your partners and whatnot, but it's totally different when you're talking to somebody who's also excited.
Who's also willing to nerd out with you. Yeah. For sure.
Like, Christine lucked out because you said you wanted to step in the hobby and I was right there waiting with, like, a welcome basket and, like, a welcome home sign. I was like, yes, please. Yes, please. So you didn't have to go out and find anybody.
No, that is
already
true. Well, and hey, if you're listening to this podcast, you already have a community that you can come and join.
Hey, we have a Discord server.
Yes. It's filled with people who want to see pictures of your plants. They want to help you. They want to bounce ideas off of you. They want to see your memes. They want to see your cat. Like, we have a fantastic community. So maybe that should really be the point, is if you're listening to this, come join our Discord. Because there's a community there waiting to talk to you. Yes. If you're not able to find someone locally, you at least have us online that we were willing to chat.
Yeah. I definitely found a community of, like, you know, one-off people on Instagram. Oh, and sure. I would be like, oh, you grew on Thorium? What are your, like, you know, tips and tricks? What do I need to know? Like, is it just like just like growing philodendrons? Oh, yeah. So sweet. Like,
and Thorium are like philodendron?
I mean, similar. Yeah, that was the most mind-blowing thing. I was like, what do you mean they're just like philodendron?
I have not had that experience.
Christine, do you want to take a baby home?
No. I have some seedlings. Let me move.
Okay. Find someone to talk plants with. Find a plant friend. Find a plant best friend. Find a couple. Make a community.
Make your own community. Yeah, if there isn't a Facebook group in your area, make one. You'd be surprised who will come out.
Right? And then every time someone is going to join, they're like going to be like, oh, I'm so glad I found you. Everyone in my family is sick of me talking about plants all the time. Like, yeah, that's why we're all here. Yeah. We know that feeling. And it's easier to... It's more fun to do it with a buddy than to do it alone.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you can have someone to trade plant cutting.
That's really what it comes down to, is finding someone trading. To go back to the... Yeah, it's only as expensive as you make it. As soon as you have some friends that are willing to, you know, prop their plants and then trade and all that, it becomes a very... free hobby after a while.
To a point. Yeah. There are the exclusions of, like, you still have to buy soil.
Yes. But that's the thing. Stuff. Like, at this point in my plant journey or whatever, I'm only buying soil amendments and fertilizer.
Yeah.
And, I don't have to buy pots. Yeah, I don't buy pots anymore.
I have to buy bugs, beneficial bugs.
Yeah, if needed.
Yeah.
Or when needed. Plants.
Cocoa coir, perlite, cocoa croutons, and fertilizer. That's it. What I got. It's still expensive, Miss Curry. She's been cuddling us the whole time. She's so cute. She has no input about plants because she just likes to eat rojo congo leaves. They're tasty, but they make my mouth tingle, I think she would say.
Probably.
Spoke English.
She doesn't speak English. Not she really. Speaks Spanish, German.
I should try it. I don't know. There's another word for lay down, but she knows, like, the hand keys for sitting.
Well, if she came from a reservation, maybe she knows a native language.
Possible, but I doubt it. I don't know that you would pick. Anyway, back on topic. This is a fun one. This is something Christine and I are both. It's relevant to us because we're at the opposite end, and we wish we could be back to the other end that we're going to talk about. But enjoy your small collection and pace yourself. Mm-hmm. You do not need to go from 3 plants to 60 plants overnight.
Definitely
you
can. Done that.
People do that. I didn't go from 3 to 60, but I definitely went from, like, 10 to 60 in, like, a week.
Yeah.
2 weeks, a month. It was so much fun.
Those were the days. The pressure is there. When you're first starting out, the pressure is there. You're going to see the pictures of people with, you know, 1,200 plants, all beautiful and immaculate and stuff. You're going to see...
Who's got 1,200 plants?
Tyler.
Besides Tyler.
You're going to feel the pull of collecting one of every pothos. You're going to...
Or all, you know, the syndapses.
Yeah, it's definitely there. There's definitely an air of fun to that, of collecting it, that...
Oh, like going into a nursery and seeing the plant that's on your wish list?
Yeah.
Ooh.
But highly recommend pacing yourself, even if it's as, dare I say, slow as one plant a month. Because, like, even now, I feel like Kayla and I both cringe at the thought of bringing in a new plant every month.
But I don't even want to bring a new plant home this year.
Right. So.
Or get rid of one plant. I'm on. How about that?
Yeah.
I'll make that commitment.
Enjoy
it while it's small. You can always grow it. But like, man, okay, on the, like I said, we're on the other end of this. We have too big of a collection and it, like, okay, Christine has the opportunity to go down to having like three plants and a cabinet of Hoyas. And I'm just like, that sounds amazing. I would probably start looking at my new individual leaves as they come out every single day if I had that few plants.
Right.
It would be awesome. But alas, I notice them when I water them and when I move them and that's about it because I'm just I'm going through the motions, right? I'm not really enjoying it and that makes me sad.
Right. And it gets to a point where there's like almost a little bit of resentment, right? Where you're like, oh God, I have to do this again. Oh, because there have been times in the last few months for me where, and I've talked about my watering schedule being every 2 weeks, and that is actually pretty scarce for some folks, right? Like I've been able to make that happen. There have been so many times in the last few months with my mental health where I've just been like,
not today. Fuck,
it's been another 2 weeks already and I have to water everything again. Like I just like, I don't.
That's been me with the checking for bugs. Because as you know, I'm fighting scale and I've only been able to check for scale like the week the bugs come.
Yeah.
Because I just like can't motivate myself to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I got the bugs on Thursday. It's now Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I'm finally just getting around to putting the second half of my lacewing eggs on plants.
Yeah.
That is so naughty of me. I spent $27 on this bottle.
Right.
Only to let them sit around for 4 days. Like, Kaylin. But that's just where I am right now, guys.
Right, right.
I haven't gotten around to checking on them. Well, and like, okay, they're lacewing eggs, so not all of them hatch. And then I set the bottle in a plant and tuck the lid off. So if someone does hatch, the lacewing larva can crawl out. So that's where I'm like, this is fine. Is it really fine or did I waste $27? Don't tell me. Don't need to know. Don't tell me. This will probably be my last beneficial bug release until the plants go outside. So
sure.
I'm hoping outside plants can get some actual lacewings on them this summer. And I still should do the adult check. Hopefully it'll be easier with stuff outside. I told Christine today that I'm going to chop some stuff down. But do you know this would be easier with like 10 plants?
Right.
So much easier.
And enjoy then all my plants small. Are yeah. Big. Let have you if you have 5 plants, grow them up. Make them huge. Make them, you know, because, yeah, plants are going to get bigger, friends. If you're doing it right, they're going to keep getting bigger.
So if you and only then have, you run out of room real quick.
Yeah, if you only have room for 5 fully grown plants,
you don't want 30
plants and then have to try and figure out.
But Christine, I want 30 plants. But now I'm seriously sitting here thinking if I only have room for 5 plants and I only was growing 5 plants. Dude, how many? Okay, Christine, how many windows do I have? Let's look at this. 1, 2, 3. And the patio door, I'll count the patio door.
Yeah.
And then I can count the south window upstairs. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 5 plants. Mm-hmm. I could have 5 really big plants taking up the entirety of that window.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. Can you picture 5 Tycons?
Only Tycons.
What if I had 5
just
plants?
Just a wall of
just Tycons. All Tycons and they're all huge. Just big ass plants.
That'd be cool.
That'd be really silly. All right. That's the dream, man.
That is the dream.
That's the dream. As I say this with an entire room devoted to plants. Yikes.
Okay. Next one. This is actually a really important one. Do your own research. I know that sounds mean.
What do you mean by that?
Okay. You joined your community. You have a Facebook group. You're going to see the same question posted in that Facebook group every day for the rest of your life. And it's going to be something like this yellow leaf on my plant. How do I fix it? We really, really, really want you to feel empowered to do your own research and not fall into that trap of taking a picture and posting in your Facebook group every day. You know, you don't. There's a little bit of a I'm going to say this first part kindly as much as I can. You don't want to be the annoying person because you're the people that are more experienced growers are going to see those questions every day. And trust me, as someone who is in the intermediate category of grower, I roll my eyes when I see that question asked every single day. So what does this mean by do your own research? I mean, Google is a good friend. I don't recommend you click on the first article you find on why is my leaf yellow and take that to heart and have that be the end all be all for reasoning behind why your leaf's yellow. Do, you know, read through, you know, 3, 4, 5 sites. If you can find a YouTube video, watch it. If you can find a better yet, if you can find a scientific journal, read that. It's kind of like all information you take in life really shouldn't just be a one and done, you know?
Yeah. And even if you do, if you only want to redo your research in the Facebook group, you can hit the search function.
Sure.
And search within that group, why is my leaf yellow? And read all the other posts where people asked about why is their leaf yellow.
Yeah.
Because there will be answers in the comments. You'll have to sort through them. You'll have to figure them out.
But within that, take all that for grains of salt. With grains of salt, right? Because I guarantee you, everyone's gonna say, needs to be repotted.
Needs fertilizer.
Needs fertilizer.
Needs humidity.
Needs humidity. And that is not the case. We have gone over this. Yep. That is not the case.
Those are not the answers, folks.
So, and that's kind of a really broad example, but like when you get a plant, if you're getting a brand new plant that you've never grown before, new species, new genus, whatever, do some research on it. Figure out what, you know, what makes it tick. Daryl gave us the really great example of finding growing guides for the plants.
Production guides.
Or production guides. Yeah. So that they...
How you grow that plant in a commercial setting for production purposes.
And that's going to give you all the information you need to know, because that's going to be the best information to know to grow the best, biggest, healthiest plant, because that's what they're doing.
And it's true. Guess what? I looked up one on philodendrons and my mind was blown, because it had a thing about like, here's some common problems and how to solve them. And I'm like, whoa, wait, what? Is this just hiding in this article? And it was like, my biggest takeaway was like, when your philodendron leaves come out like wrinkly and stuff, it's a calcium deficit.
Oh.
Right?
Everyone just goes, oh, philodendrons do that sometimes.
They need more calcium, you guys.
Put milk in your plant.
Right? No, just kidding. And then like, it even broke it down to like, why is the leaf yellow? And like, it had options and like... Wow. There was like a nitrogen deficiency, potassium deficiency. Like there were some other things too that I don't exactly remember for like, why is this leaf being weird? And I was just like, it was the calcium for the philodendron leaves that are wonky that I just like blew my mind. I was like, how many shitty philodendron leaves have I been getting?
Right.
Like, over the course of however long I've been growing philodendrons. Like, that was crazy. And I was like, all I need to do is add a little CalMag? What?
Yeah.
Thankfully, now I have a fertilizer that has additional CalMag.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also having to use calcium magnesium in my hydration of my cocoa coir as well.
Along with like researching the best way to grow your plants, also research the plants themselves.
Some plants they have toxins, and some plants are actually like they'll irritate your skin.
Yep,
and some of them will kill your pets.
Yeah, Diffenbachia is a great example for they secrete a milk when you break the leaves and stem, and if you get that on your fingers, that eventually get to like
your
mouth.
Did you say fingies?
Yeah, if you get them on your fingies, it could sting a little if you have open cuts. It could cut you, actually. There's crystals in the secretion.
The calcium oxalate crystals.
And then if you get that in your mouth, it can like numb your mouth and make it hard to, I don't know, just numb. Numbs everything. If you get in your eyeballs, that sucks. If
poinsettia, also toxic. The sago palm will kill your pets.
Sago palm's not a palm, so if you read that palms are cat safe, sago palm does not fall in that category.
Because it's not really a palm.
It's a succulent, and it will kill them if they chew on it.
I pulled off some big leaves on my Regal Shield one time. I was like, why are my hands tingling?
Oh, yeah.
It's because there was enough like wet stuff that came out from the leaves that I touched that it like made my hands tingle. And I had never done that before, and I also was like, I don't understand why this happened.
Yeah.
And then I figured it out because it happened a second time after I touched the plant again.
I think it's important to note, especially if we're talking to beginners here, that extra floral nectaries is not toxic. Because I could see people like listening to this and go, oh, my philodendron is secreting something. It's going to hurt me.
Well, that's why you do your own research.
Right. But so, yeah, just real quick. Hoya milk, not an issue. And extra floral nectaries from your philodendrons, not an issue. You don't have to worry about that.
A rubber tree, that's like a little latex. If you have a latex allergy, you should be watching out for that.
100%.
But yeah, it's like the internet will tell you things. People who write blogs will tell you other things. Like, you need to trust the information you're looking up and not just taking a random person on the internet's word for it. So actually do some research and learn about the plants you're growing.
We should have made plant influencers one of our notes.
What do you mean the plant influencers?
I don't trust any of them.
Don't trust plant influencers.
They're just trying to sell you shit.
Right? They're getting paid to market you products. Do they actually know if they're any good? No, because they're not scientists.
Do we consider...
There, I said it.
We're not plant influencers, right?
We're not influencers. Talking about how we grow plants.
Yeah.
I'm like, are we the bad guys?
don't think so. We'll tell you how it is. I'm not afraid.
Right, we're telling you to put your plants in windows so they grow better. Like, you can also prove us wrong by putting your plants in a window and seeing if it does better or if it doesn't. If it doesn't, you can come back to us and be like, hey, you lied to me.
But then we'll need to know where you had it before.
Exactly. We'll ask you all about your care.
Be prepared to answer that. Not everyone is.
All right. Another thing I wish someone would have told me when I was first starting out. You don't have to like the popular stuff to be a plant person. You also don't need the fanciest plants, pots, tools, accessories to be a plant person. I know this is all kind of like, you know, some of the trendy stuff, but like if you are into not aroids, because aroids are having a big moment right now. Like,
oh, sure.
That doesn't mean you're not a plant person. You could be into ultra rare, weird stuff most people have never heard about and still be a plant person. Like, don't let anyone dictate that to you. Grow what you like.
Yeah.
Don't let other people influence what you grow.
And I think that kind of blends into the enjoying your collection while it's small. Find the one or two genera that you really, really jive with.
I mean, sometimes you have to try them all.
And if that's...
Before you can get there. That was sure, me. I tried everything.
But like, if that's African violets...
There's and a community out there for you.
There's a community out there for you. They are going to be older in age. But it's okay. Like, you are not going to see people buying huge... Or you're not going to see African violets in a purge, you know? That's not ever going to be like the it girl plant.
I mean...
In a plant community.
Have you seen those variegated ones that sunstress pink?
They're very pretty. They're very cute. But... You know, that's not what everyone goes after. And that's okay. It's okay to not want a Tycon. We have a friend that hated the look of Tycons. And so he refused to buy Tycons. Do I have that flipped? Might be the other way. He may have not liked Elbow. Nate, tell us which one it was. He didn't like Elbows and or one of the two.
I feel like it was Elbow because I feel like Nate went out and got some Tycons.
Gotcha. So yeah, I mean, if you're like, oh... You know,
I am not big on Anthurium because they all look the same. Mm. So I'm not going to go out there and collect all of them because they all look the same to me.
I have fallen out of love with Syngonium because they get leggy and shitty after a while. But some people love them. You know,
I can see why they love them.
Yeah. But
I'm not super duper big on succulents, but I do have like my five like ride or dies.
But there are folks out there that's all they ever want to grow.
If I lived in California, you bet your ass I'd be growing succulents.
Yeah.
They grow so well. Yeah. In those sunlighty, warmer places, you can leave them outside all year.
So the deserts?
Shh, quiet. We just live in Minnesota. That just doesn't work here.
Yes, I grow a lot of Hoya, and yes, that is one of the popular genera. But I also grow a lot of Alocasia, which is not
I mean, it wants to be popular. People are just not good at them.
It ebbs and flows, but that is not something...
Need a Tangerusa baby to take home?
Not right now, okay.
Do you know how many corms I sprouted?
Probably a bunch.
A ton.
I have to pot up my dragon scales too and then
you
decide.
Dragon scale babies? Mm-hmm. Or do you have? You do?
Mm-hmm. I have a silver dragon and dragon scale.
Oh, those ones. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was thinking dragon's breath.
Oh, no. My dragon's breath just keeps putting out. I'm letting the babies sprout in the pot.
I have a dragon scale baby over there doing really
nice.
Just run like seven. And you don't need fancy pots to have cool plants. You don't need to buy the new IT watering can. You don't need to buy the automated battery-powered sprayer for misting.
No.
Actually,
God, no.
That should have been on our list. You don't need to mist plants.
Oh.
Unless it's an epiphyte, don't mist your plants. It doesn't do anything.
Doesn't
it's
do
only a people.
Shit.
It's only making you feel better.
We fought people at the Orchid Society over there.
Did we ever tell you about that, everyone?
No, we didn't.
We didn't?
So. I don't think we talked about it.
I think we briefly talked about it.
That should be an episode. Our time at the Orchid Society.
In Minnesota.
I'm going to write that down.
Yikes, no. We stood our ground on misting, and we were like, well, okay, hold on. Orchids are epiphytes. Like, they can be misted. It was the humidity I got in a fight with somebody over.
Yeah.
And, like, two people stood up to defend the original person I was arguing with, and I'm like... Can you prove it? And they're like, I have a hygrometer, but I never look at it. I'm like, shut the fuck up then. Infuriating, you guys. Like, it's almost like the do your own research. But like, if something is measurable and you can measure it, why aren't you measuring it?
Right.
Like, you can't just say, oh, he's getting plenty of light. Like, give me a tangible answer for what kind of light he's getting.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with humidity. Like, you can measure that. So do it. And then maybe you'll see that, you know, washing the dishes doesn't actually raise the humidity in your kitchen very much to make it worth it.
Yeah.
Don't care. All right, one.
This is a really big one. Okay, friends. We highly, again, we're empowering you. While you're researching stuff, go look up what pests look like. Go look up what pest damage looks like. And go look up what you need to do to be checking for pests. All pests. but for sure, your big ones, your spider mites, your thrips, your mealies. I really wish I knew.
Mealies slash scale.
Slash scale. I really wish I had known what spider mites looked like when I first started.
And even more important than knowing what the spider mites look like, know the signs of
yes.
when your plant might have pests.
Yes.
So, like, you might not be able to see the spider mites right away, but you'll definitely see the dappled, like,
yep. I
mottled thought, leaves.
Because spider mites specifically on Calatheas, if you don't know what you're looking for, slash you don't know what the webbing looks like, you don't know what the modeling looks like. For the longest time, I thought my Calatheas were just getting dry. I thought they were just drying out.
Their leaves dry up and get crispy, yes. like almost right away.
So I just thought I was getting them too dry, and I just kept watering them, and I had no idea that it was spider mites like the entire time. So highly, 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 highly recommend. You can... Again, that's where the Facebook groups come in handy, because I'm sure somebody's posted pictures at some point in one of those groups and people have gone, that's spider mites.
Or other people know what the damage looks like.
Yep. And you don't have to become an expert. You don't have to know the life cycle of spider mites off the bat. But if you can get decent, and you're going to get pests, friends. You're going to get pests. You can't.
It's inevitable. They come from wherever.
You can't tell me you don't have pests.
They disappear into thin air.
So if you can get reasonably good off the bat of being like, this doesn't look right. This wasn't like this a week ago. This has this weird like coating on the leaf. Like,
ooh, honeydew.
Yeah.
That's a big one I should have been looking out for.
Yeah. It's only going to make life easier and less heartbreaky and less painful down the road.
Yeah. Catch it early.
Yeah.
Catch it early if you can. And like, it is a little overwhelming to think about your first pest if you haven't got any, but like,
and scary. You know,
I knew when I was getting into alocasia that they get spider mites a lot. So, like, I knew that I need to be on the lookout for them. And so, like, you know, it definitely happened. And then eventually with alocasia, I learned, like, specifically, if the plant stops growing for no reason, probably got bugs and you probably can't see them yet. So you need to start taking your precautions, because inevitably what happened every single time, I would then, like, 2 weeks later, find spider mites.
Yeah.
And I called it every single time. But, like, you know, I was prepared.
Yeah.
Kind of. I think I had also had spider mites before I had alocasia. Another one to tie in with that topic, know when to throw it away.
Mm.
Know when to just give up. Know when to call it quits on specifically, like, a certain plant.
Yeah.
Like, if it has too many pests, you don't want to deal with it, or if it's just not bringing you joy, or if it's a plant you just can't figure out.
Yeah.
Is it worth the continued added stress?
No, nah.
Just toss it.
And in that same breath, just a gentle reminder that it's okay if you have to throw something away. It's okay if you kill something. We have all failed on a plant at some point, if not more. Or if you're like me and you've tried something 3 or 4 times and can't take the hint that you can't grow the plant, so just stop. We've all been there. It's okay. Yeah, if you've tried to grow something and you keep cutting it back and it grows a little bit, but then gets real sad again. And so then you cut it back and then it grows a little bit and then it gets sad again. You know, instead of beating yourself up too hard on that too much, it might be time to just, you know, let it go. I can't do this one.
Let it go.
And that's okay.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just not worth the mental strain. Says the person who has the hardest time letting it go. It's easier to tell you folks to let it go than to listen to my own advice.
After our last episode, and I had to sit here and tell you, just cut the pink princess.
Yeah, and then I go into the kitchen to cut it, and I'm like, Christine, should I do 3 or 5 leaves? The 5th leaf has great variegation.
It's, just cut it.
I left it on.
Oh, God.
I have more, some more plants to cut down, too, so I'm just like, yeah. It'll feel good once it's done. It's a bit of a hurdle to get over it. I need to listen to my own damn advice. Next on the chopping block, Moonlight, White Wizard, Florida Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna have to happen, Miss Curry.
It's gonna be great.
It's gonna happen. You're gonna watch Mama do it. Aw, cute girl.
Sweet baby. Do we have any more?
Yeah, the very last one.
Oh. Yeah, this is the most important one. We left this one. I know we said no in particular order, but this is the most important one. You guys, have fun. Have fun.
Have fun. Enjoy your collections. Plants are fun. It's fun to get plants. It's fun to trade plants.
It's not that serious. I don't know how many times I've had people private messaging me, like having basically trying to argue with me about something. And I'm like, you know what? They're plants. And at the end of the day, they're plants. And I don't care enough to have this argument with you because they're plants. So protect your mental space, protect your peace, protect, you know, all you have to do, and just have fun with it. Try and have fun.
Yep. And if you're not having fun, reevaluate.
Yeah.
Christine, we should take our advice.
I know. I'm trying to have fun. That's why this whole
I'm looking at your situation being like, oh yeah, Christine's got a great opportunity here.
It's going to be fun.
As I'm right sitting now, in my plant room full of giant plants I can't bear to part with.
Right. Gosh, I'm going to make it fun again. We'll get there.
Yep.
Right now it's not that fun.
Getting rid of plants, so be it.
Yeah. And again, if you need someone to like inspire you to have fun again, come to our Discord. Come chat with us.
Be around other people who think plants are fun.
Yeah. You're going to have lulls. Joy. You're going to have lulls. We all have our lulls. But when the lull starts to last like a year, maybe we should look at how we can reassess the situation.
Right. And my favorite piece of advice is you can always grow it again.
Yeah.
Like my Raven's Easy, I may or may not end up with a Raven's Easy in a couple months because my two guttings might not make it from my giant, beautiful plant. But hey, I grew that plant up big and giant, and I can do it again.
I was going to say, that's a really good point, is take pictures. Because that's like you said, you had a fantastic Raven's Easy.
I have picture proof.
You have proof that you did that. And that's sometimes, like for me, that's enough. Like I did this once. I had a fantastic, beautiful elbow that was massive. And I have a beautiful Facebook picture over it. If I never get my elbow to look that great again, that's okay.
You did it once?
I did it.
Yeah.
And I can say I did
it. I grew my Giganteum up 3 times to fit in my patio door. And I cut it back every year.
Yeah.
I did it.
Yeah.
Currently, he's 2 feet tall with 3 little growth points with little bitty leaves. We'll get there again.
Yeah.
Oh, I did get the top cut of my variegated Giganteum after looking at it for scale because he's not very variegated.
Mm-hmm.
And I threw the top cut onto the patio.
Oh.
Where he currently sits in a pile of rainwater. He's going through the compost.
As your pasta sits outside and it's like 36 degrees at night.
It's been 40. My pasta, the pasta, I'm over it. I'm going to grow the pasta outside this summer and then I'm going to toss him.
Nice.
That's my decision. Do He's got scale on it. I don't care anymore.
Love it. Do it. Or it could be a good science experiment. Just watch him succumb to scale.
Well, I don't want him to pass scale onto my outside plant. So if it ends up being too bad, I might cut all his leaves off. But also right now, because the temperatures are getting low and we have garden plants that are temp sensitive, I figure that Passizanum will be less tolerant of cold temps than the garden veggies. So if like one night passes and the garden temp or the Passizanum gets cold damage, I'll be like, Brandon, we need to cover up the veggies.
Right.
Dun, dun, dun.
Cool.
Anyway, well, maybe that's not the nicest thing to do, but
meh. Yeah. So those are the 10 things that we came up with. Yeah. Love to hear what our other experienced growers would say in the Discord.
I feel like they would agree with us.
Yeah. But
there might be a good one that we're missing too.
Yeah.
So let us know.
Yeah.
And if you want Christine and I to participate, just tag us. I'll pop on if you tag me.
Yeah. Plant of the week?
Jeez Louise. Okay. I didn't want to double up my plant of the week. I have another really good plant of the week.
Do it.
Who's in a very similar vein. Ooh. Ooh. I'm looking at my list. It's a good list. Okay, I'm going to do my String of Nickels, which is a plant that I got from Katie, our plant friend Katie.
Perfect, because my plant of the week is also from Katie.
No
Katie,
way!
Katie, you're getting a huge shout out this
week. No way! So, someone told me to treat the String of Nickels like a Hoya, and I have a love-hate relationship with some Hoyas, because some I can grow and some I can't.
Uh-huh.
And so this guy, I was like, he's living life, he's not exactly the happiest. And then one day I was like, okay, we're just going to give him more light. Mm. So I boosted him up in the cabinet. I like put a little thing underneath him to make him taller. And then all of a sudden he was like, oh, I'm going to grow now. And I was like, oh, you're going to what? And then all of a sudden, before I knew it, he had like some long vines. And
nice.
I was like, holy shit, you actually grow. And so I took some cuttings, actually. I'm going to make Jen a pot. But yeah, Mr. String of Nickels is doing great things. And it's very, very happy and satisfying to see him grow. So
nice.
Congrats, plant of the week.
String of Nickels. Mine from Katie is going to be my Hoya Wilbur Graves China that I got from her.
Ooh.
Which, so I got a Hoya Wilbur Graves Russia a couple years ago, and that was a nice plant, but the variegation hasn't been super hot on it. But the China one that I got from Katie has been crazy. It's been growing really fast, and it's been putting out a ton of leaves, and they've all been this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful silver. Extremely highly variegated / I don't think it's variegation. I think it's splash, technically.
Can't wait to see it.
Yeah, and it's the China one is more long spade-like not spade, but pointy leaves versus the Russia bean coin. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's been a, it's just been a happy little dude.
Love that.
Needs to be repotted, but happy little dude.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it, love it, love it. Cool. Well, congrats, plant of the week. Reminder to join our Discord.
Come say hi.
Yep. Tell your friends about us. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah.
Well, we've been having a good summer.
Indeed. I hope by now I have my plants outside.
Sure hope so.
Really excited about that.
Hopefully we don't have a cold July or June. Ugh. But yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
So nervous about that too. Save myself. Alrighty. Well, thanks for joining us. It's been Kaylin, Christine, and Miss Ty Curry on this episode. Good girl. You good puppies. Cuddling the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see you back here in 2 weeks.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.